We're looking into a new investigative report about the criminal justice system here in Wisconsin. An examination into two similar cases shows that even though both inmates committed similar crimes, they received very different treatment from the system.
Here to look at how differently these two men were treated and why is Gina Barton. She's a criminal justice investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Gina, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, let's get a rundown on these cases that you wrote about. First is the case of Ramiah Whiteside. What happened to him? Why did he wind up in the system?
When he was 19 years old, which was about 20 years ago, he went joyriding in a stolen Cadillac, and he lost control, fleeing from the police, plowed through a bus stop shelter, and then the car exploded, and four people were killed.
And what kind of sentence did he get?
He got the maximum sentence at the time, which was 47 years in prison, and he was sentenced under the old parole system. So he was eligible for parole after serving about 12 years.
And it sounds as though the sentencing judge would have liked to add more time.
The sentencing judge was just incensed that the prosecutors hadn't charged him with more serious crimes and said if he could, he would have ordered even more time than the 47 years. That's correct.
And you put him alongside a similar case. This time we look at Shane Ernest. Why did he wind up in prison?
Shane was involved in a drunken driving accident in Buffalo County. And so he was under the influence and tried to pass another car in a no-passing zone and caused a head-on collision. And in that crash, three people were killed and two others were seriously injured.
And so compare these two men side by side. You know, they went through the system. First, before we go further, what kind of sentence did Ernest end up with?
He got a five-year sentence, and he was sentenced under truth in sentencing, which meant he was going to do 5 years, period, the end.
Okay, so you've got these two men, similar crimes. How do you see them when you put them side by side?
Well, I think it was really interesting that these two men shared a cell for about 6 to 8 months. And so they got to know each other and they kind of became friends once they realized how starkly similar their crimes were. And at that time, Ramiah Whiteside, the guy who got the 47 years, had already been there for a while. He's African American. And Shane, who was this young Caucasian kid, had never been in trouble before, kind of didn't know what he was doing in prison. And, you know, Ramiah kind of helped him get used to things and kind of took him under his wing a little bit and helped him through his incarceration.
I'm going to fast forward a little bit and tell us where they both are today.
So Shane's been out almost 5 years now. He's married. He has a baby. And he has a job doing small engine repair, lawnmowers and things like that. Ramiah now has been in almost 20 years and just got denied for parole again, despite the fact that one of his victim's mothers and his former cellmate Shane and even Judge Hancher, who sentenced him, have all said they believed he is reformed and he should be getting parole.
And one of the things that you point to when you look at the discrepancies in the way these cases turned out is Wisconsin's truth in sentencing law. So how did that come into play when we look at these two men?
So under truth in sentencing, as I said, whatever sentence the judge hands down, that's how long you get. So Shane was sentenced to 5 years. He served his 5 years. He's out. Ramiah was sentenced under the old parole system where he was eligible for parole after 12 years and was sentenced to 47. And so the issue that a lot of people who were sentenced under the old law are having is that in the past few years, paroles have come to a virtual standstill. So even though the judge at the time in a lot of these cases realized that, yes, if this person was rehabilitated, he would be eligible for parole, people just aren't getting paroled. It's down from about 1,200 a few years ago to around 150 last year.
Now, Ramiah Whiteside had a longer criminal history. Shane Ernest, that was more or less one of the first things that got him into the system. Did that play a part?
It certainly did. I mean, Shane, it was the first thing he had ever done to get in trouble. And Ramaya had, in fact, already served prison time. And I'm hearing from a lot of readers about this. They're saying, well, these weren't similar crimes. Look at their previous records. And the point that I'm trying to make is, no, they didn't have similar records, but they did have similar crimes. And the question is, two questions. One is, were the records so dissimilar that one warrants 5 years and one warrants almost 50, you know, almost 10 times longer? Was his record that much worse? And then the second question is rehabilitation a goal of prison? And if so, virtually everyone agrees that Ramaya has been rehabilitated. So why is he still there?
Well, let's talk about that rehabilitation, because Ramaya had had gotten counseling for substance abuse, some cognitive therapy, it sounds like. He seems committed in the piece to making a positive difference. Walk us through some of the things that he's done.
He's done, he said the most, the thing that had the greatest impact on him was this cognitive rehabilitation, which is a prison program where he spent 22 months learning how to adjust his thinking. And when he went in, he was 19, and now he's 39. So he's grown up a lot in addition to being taught the skills of, you know, empathy and thinking about the impact your actions have on other people and things like that. He finished his high school equivalency. He's done as many college credits as he possibly can pay for while in prison. He did a domestic violence, you know, prevention program, even though he had no history of domestic violence. And in fact, back in 2006, helped start an aftercare program for other people who had gone through that, you know, how to change criminal thinking so that they could keep supporting each other.
And you talked to Ramaya. He said one of the hardest things for him was the parole off process for him. He hasn't been able to get parole. And the other man you profile, Shane Earnest, he did get parole. And meanwhile, Ramaya doesn't see an end. He doesn't see, he sees uncertainty going forward. How do you see that playing a role in what he's gone through?
Well, and, you know, as I said, Shane, under truth in sentencing, didn't have to worry about parole or not. He was just, he had a date certain when he was getting out. And for Ramaya and other people like him, they talk about have they been rehabilitated and have they served an adequate amount of time and have they done all the programs that they need to do? And so their problems with that are the parole board might say, well, you need this program. But then the committee inside the prison will say, well, sorry, there's no room for you in this program. And then there's no way that they can do it. And so they come up for parole again and they say, well, why haven't you done your drug and alcohol program? And the inmate just says, well, they won't put me in it. and then the other issue is that they never get a date certain of what is a sufficient amount of time. So is the sufficient amount of time 10 years? Is it your maximum sentence? Is it 50%, 80% of your sentence? No one will say. It's just a very amorphous thing. And so there's very little that any inmate can do to help improve their chances for parole.
How do officials decide who gets parole and who doesn't?
That's a really great question. As far as I can tell, those are the three standards that they use, the three standards that I just described. And I have not been able to get any of the parole commissioners to actually do an interview with me. But I did hear a recording of a meeting that they had with some religious activists who are trying to get this changed. And one of those parole commissioners, Steve Landerman, did say, you know, well, I can't tell you you're going to be out in 2 years. That's just not how it works. But he didn't actually say how it does work. And their explanation is so many fewer people are being paroled because that pool of people eligible for parole is getting smaller since truth in sentencing people don't have parole as an option. But when you look at the numbers, the percentages are still way out of whack.
So to look at your bigger question about the role of rehabilitation in prison, in Wisconsin, where are we on that question? What do we think is the ultimate goal of serving time in prison?
Well, I think you get a lot of disagreement on that, depending on who you ask. You know, some people say it's punishment. You know, I've heard back from a lot of readers who have said not only should Ramiah not be out, Shane shouldn't be out either. Because, you know, if you take somebody else's life, you should be locked up forever and throw the key away. And then there are other people who say, you know, it's society's obligation to give people who are willing to improve themselves another chance out in the world. You know, a lot of inmates have said to me, think about the worst thing you've ever done, the worst mistake you've ever made in your life, and that is the absolute only thing you're judged by for the rest of your life. I mean, that's tough. So people say rehabilitation is a goal, but if he's been rehabilitated, why is he still there? And if he hasn't been rehabilitated, tell him what he needs to do in order to become rehabilitated.
And then briefly, as we wrap up, do we know what the prospects are for Ramiah Whiteside being released from prison?
Well, I just talked to him earlier today, and he is going to be starting his drug and alcohol treatment program in 4 weeks. He's got a slot. He signed a contract, and that's the last thing that the parole board has been telling him for 20 years that he needs to do. So he'll be starting that in 4 weeks, and he's up for another parole review in June. So there's no guarantee, but that's when they'll reconsider his request for release.
Gina, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
We've been speaking to Gina Barton, criminal justice investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She was with us to talk about two cases with different outcomes in Wisconsin's legal system.